Thank God. Amen. We're reading this morning from the book of Luke, chapter 9, beginning at verse 28. And it came to pass about in 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. When they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto him, unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they were entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. From verse 33, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. Amen. Peter was filled at that moment with the zeal to build not one, not two, but three, Brother Parrott. Amen. Tabernacles. But the Bible said, not knowing what he said. Amen. It seems to me, amen, that today many folks are in the same boat as Peter was. The Bible said, but Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. Amen. Paul said that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Amen. I'm afraid that's true today also. Amen. Folks say today how much they love God. Amen. And they're zealous about building Him a tabernacle, amen, to live in. Amen. But it looked like to me they're like Peter. They don't really know what they're saying. Sure where I'm going either. Amen. Amen. In the book of Acts, amen, we read, amen, and Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth and dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Amen. I want you to get this. Amen. Paul said, he's the Lord of heaven and earth and dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Amen. The Bible says that, amen, the Lord spoke to the prophet and said to him, Nathan, go tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shall thou build me a house for me to dwell in. Amen. I hope this morning that you don't think I'm taking this out of context too far. Amen. But I want to ask you this morning, amen, will you build a place or a house for God to dwell? in. Amen. Do you really want to do this? You heard Paul say that God does not dwell in temples made with hands. Oh, God. So, amen, Brother Charles, I'm not talking or, amen, or we're not looking at some church building, amen, that we're about to build. Come here, church, amen. Amen. God help us, amen. We're looking at a remodeled God. Woo! Paul said, I beseech you therefore, or I beseech you brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. If you're building a building for God to live in this morning, there'll have to be a cleaning out. I'm just preaching to you what the Lord told me at one or two or whatever time it was this morning. Amen. God help us to realize, amen, that if we really want to build a place for God to live in, Sister Elizabeth, amen, it's going to have to be different than it is now. Nehemiah said, but in all this time was I not at Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of, help me, Lord, Artaxerxes, woo, I got it, king of Babylon, I came to the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king. And I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. Amen. My brethren, this morning it looks like to me that the church has fixed the chamber, amen, for the devil to live in the house of God. I heard the Bible say, neither give place to the devil. Woo! I looked at all the meanings of that word, room and boat and voice and everything else, amen. But, amen, my God, Brother Ralph, I looked in that old dictionary that, oh, thank God for Brother Cox. I found a meaning that the Lord said, this is what I was talking about when I said, neither give place to the devil. You know what it was? It said, priority of position. Well, the old Cherokee didn't know what that meant either. So I looked that up. Amen. My God, but don't admit. Amen. Priority of position means the power, amen, to turn things or to affect one's mind and thinking. Come on, church. Somehow, in our minds about building a house for God, we prepared a chamber, a place where the devil can sit and live. Amen. Amen. And are you out there? Sure we have. Sure we have. That's why we got all this fussing and fighting going on in the house of God. He's got a place in there. And he's affecting our mind and our thinking. Especially about building a house for God. Woo! Amen. Amen. Brother Larry, you may never ask me to come back. I don't know. I'm not begging to come back, but amen. The devil told me, he said, you're going to shoot yourself out of the sky this morning. I said, I won't be the first buzzard to hit the ground. Amen. Come on, church. Come on, church. Amen. He's affected our mind to the place, amen, that we have allowed him a place in the house of God to voice his opinions. Amen. To voice his ideas, his thoughts, and his theories. And when Nehemiah got there, understood, amen, what Elisha, whatever his name is, amen, what he had done in preparing him a place, in giving him a place. And it grieved me. It don't grieve too many pastors anymore. You better leave him alone. Is that right? Yeah, but he's causing... Yeah, I know, but he pays the most tithes in the church. His family's most prominent. They carry a pretty good block of oats. I never will forget. Amen. Brother Glenn Bashir, do y'all know Brother Glenn? Sweet Lamb of God. Brother Charles, he'd had a meeting. And I called him and I asked him, how'd the revival go? He said, best one we ever had. I said, is that right? I said, what happened? He said, we lost 30 people. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to build a house for God this morning. Y'all will help me a little bit. Amen. It grieved him. Amen. It grieved me sore. Therefore, I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. All his fads, all his fashions, all his books. Shout, church, shout, amen. I think it's about time that we got grieved, amen, over the place that the devil's got in the house of God and go in there and clean that thing out. Woo, preach, buzzard, amen. Come here, church, amen. Amen. Then I commanded and they cleaned the chamber. Sweet Lamb of God, it's time for a sanctification of the house of God. Time to clean it out and sanctify it. Sweet Lamb of God, throw the junk out. I don't want him to have anything to do with me at all. I don't even want him close to me. Come here, church. And thither I brought again the vessels of the house of God. Woo! And the offering and the frankincense. I cleaned it out. And I brought the vessels of God and put them in there where he had been. I don't want you to take offense at me this morning. I really don't want you to. But you're liable to. Amen. I'm telling you, amen, we have allowed so much of the devil's junk in the house of God, amen, that he has more sway in the house of God than God does. Raise your hand and say, hallelujah, I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to do it. Say amen. I ain't going to do it. Brother Charles, I've heard that junk. Amen. I'm afraid I'll get in myself. Till I'm sick of it. I decide that's of the devil and throw it out. I got to praying about it, Brother Larry. And you know what the Lord told me? I know you don't think he talked to me, but I know it wasn't the devil telling me that. Huh? Amen. He told me, he said, son, I would to God that my people would put a little more of their self into this thing. If you're going to build a building for God, you're going to have to get into it. Woo! That's right. Most of them, I said, no, I ain't moving until the Spirit moves. I ain't doing it. I ain't going to do it. No, not me. No, the Spirit's got to move on me before I do anything. Isn't it a shame that the God of heaven that come down and saved my soul, Brother Ralph, took his blood and washed and made me clean, whiter than snow, took all my sins and cast them in the past sea. Huh? All my past sins and cast them in the sea. The devil's trying to twist my tongue this morning. That's all right. Try, devil. Amen. Come on, church. What has he done for you? And you mean to tell me, amen, that you got to wait till the Spirit of God gets a hold of the nape of your neck and said, I said, praise me. Amen. Else, does he have to get a hold of you? And I'm glad he don't, but he has to do some people.
Yeah.
You know what I read in the Word of God? Amen. The Bible said, and David danced before the Lord with all of his might. I don't think he's anointed to do it. I just felt like he felt like doing it, so he just got out there and done it. His wife got on to him. She knew he wasn't in the spirit. Not for a while, anyway. She jumped his hide just like a bunch of them do around here. Woo! Oh, pray, wife. I don't know how long-winded I'm going to be this morning. I really don't. This is getting bigger all the time, building this house. Huh? He said, you just wait till next time, lady. You ain't seen nothing yet. Huh? Amen. Brother Charles, I read where a multitude came up against the king. Amen. Forget which one it was. Amen. They said there's a great multitude over there. He got to praying. Amen. Amen. I said, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Amen. Some old plowboy out in the middle of the audience jumped up. Amen. And said, thus saith the Lord. You don't need to fight in this battle. Just go stand up there on the cliff called Ziz, and I'll win this battle. You don't even need to fight. They got up early the next morning, the Bible said, and headed out toward there. And the king stopped and said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Come here, song leader. What do you want, sir? I want you to get a song. We're going down there and we're going to sing.
Yeah.
I can hear some old wet blanket say, God didn't tell me to sing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spirit on me ain't moved on me to sing. I ain't going to sing. Just sit there and dry up and blow away then.
Yeah.
He said, what song do you want us to sing? I like that one about the beauty of holiness. Let's sing to the beauty of holiness. You knew I'd have to work holiness in there, didn't you? Amen. Sister Elizabeth, I read that. Amen. And my old Indian in here said, I wonder what God was going to do. Huh. Now you're looking at me funny. I don't know what he planned on doing. I really don't. I don't know how he planned on. I know that he's going to do it, but I didn't know how he's going to do it. But the Bible said when they begin to sing, it done something to God. Brother Ralph, amen, there they was singing. They wasn't supposed to be saying a word. They supposed to be just standing up there looking. Amen. King said, I can't do that. I can't go to church. I wish we all felt that way. So they started singing, and the Bible said when they started to sing, it done something to God. That man of war up there riding on the chariot, amen, he set ambush. I mean, they're fighting it. I don't know what he planned on doing, but that's what he did do when they got to singing. I wonder what God would do if he'd come to the house of God, come riding by here this morning, look down on a bunch of people with just going ahead and worshiping God without the anointing, without anything, just let's build a house for God. I want to build a place, Sister Elizabeth, that he'll say, I want to go home. How about you this morning? I better get on. I'll never get this thing built. Amen. He commanded them to cleanse the chamber. Bring again the vessels of the house of God. The meat offerings. The frankincense. Come here, church. Come here. Come here. Whatever's inside must be thrown out. Because God, bad language, but ain't going to live with it. You understood that, didn't you? Amen. He ain't going to live with it. That's Okie Indian talk, but then we understand that in Oklahoma, that means he's not going to do it under any circumstances. And I like the word ain't better than all that stuff. Come on, church. Amen. And see, we got the idea that we can serve God and hold on to our little whatnots. No, I ain't talking about them on the shelf. Come here now. I ain't gone that far yet. If I start preaching against two towels, well, you know. Joshua, amen, said to them, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt and serve ye the Lord." Now that sounds like that Joshua, amen, is telling them. Is that what he told them? The ones they served on the other side? Is that, that's what he said, wasn't it, Charles? And they could have said, hey, Moses, calm down here now. We done come through the Red Sea. You've seen what happened. We done been eating out in the wilderness. Our clothes ain't wore out and nothing else. Hey, man, you know good and well we're holy as you are. Sister Elizabeth, he's calling. He said, "If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, and of the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We're going to say, he said, we're going to serve God. If you build this house, amen, amen, for God, amen, you will also make this choice because he's going to call for it. I said he's going to call. Choose. Who do you want to live? You want me to live here? Do you want me to live here? Do you want God to live in the building that you're building? Your body? Amen. Now, when they heard that, the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other God. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up out and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did us those great signs in our sight, preserved us in all the way wherein we went among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwell in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God." Man, that sounds good, don't it? But listen to what Joshua said to him. Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve strange God. Then will He turn and do you hurt, consume you after that He done you good." That sounds strange. Here they are saying, we're going to do it. We're going to do it, Brother Ralph. We're going to do it. He said, "You can't." And there's a lot of folks, Brother Wayne Armbrister, I'd like to tell them, you can't. Yeah. You can't.
Yeah.
Oh, amen. And the people said to him again, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourself that you've chosen to serve the Lord." And they said, "We're witnesses." Then Joshua told them something that they didn't know that he knew. I've had him say to me, "Who told you that, Brother Buzzard?" Yeah. Sweet Lamb of God. Little bird. The Holy Ghost come in the form of a bird. Come on, church. He told them something that they didn't think he knew. He said, "Now therefore,
he, the strange gods which are among you. They didn't know that he knew that. Come on, church. Them's the gods that their fathers served on the other side of the flood. Sweet Lamb of God, Brother Charles, they'd had them all those years.
How long have you been carrying yours? Don't shoot yet. He said, incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. You see, Joshua heard what they really said when they answered him the first time. Did you catch it? They said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up. They're telling the truth here. Our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight, preserved us in all the way wherein we went among all the people through whom we passed, and the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. And then they said, listen, therefore will we also serve the Lord. Do you hear what they're saying? I mean, they didn't know that Joshua knew they had them gods in their little tents. But he did. And they didn't have them in there for but one purpose, Brother Ralph. Amen. To worship them. Come on now. That's what you got in your house for, too. And you also are saying, we want to serve God also. No, God's not going to put up with that. He will not forgive your sins if you don't forsake your strange gods. I said He will not. He absolutely is a jealous God. He'll turn and do you hurt after that He's done you good. After that He delivered you. If you don't get rid and clean the house out, forget it. You still want to build a house for God? The only one you got is the one you're sitting in. That's the only one He's interested from you. Hey, I know you can tell everybody else how to do it, but you need to look in the mirror and see where I'm at. Come on, church, amen. My God in heaven, I want to build a house that God wants to live in. Oh, Lord. The Bible said, but who is able to build him a house? Seeing the heavens of heavens cannot contain him, who am I then that I should build him a house? Who's able to build him a house? Who is able? Amen. You can if you're willing. Clean your heart out. Forsake all the strange gods you've got gathered in your years. In fact, the Bible said He has charged me to build Him a house. Brother Ralph, amen, He charged me to build Him a house. Buzzard, will you build a house? I know you're an unclean bird, but we can fix that. Woo! Do you really want to build God a house this morning? I said, do you really want to build Him a house? Come on, you can if you want to. I said, you can if you will. Amen. Amen. God help us. He's charged us to do this. And the Bible also asks, who is left among you of all His people? The Lord God be with him and let him go up. Get up out of your seat and get with it. Sister Elizabeth, I want to build a house. I've lived in some places that I dreaded going to. But I lived in some houses. I ain't never got to build one. If I ever do, I know just how I want it. But I've built in some. Brother Ralph, when I was away from home, I got homesick to go. go home. In fact, on Friday night when I was evangelizing, everybody come to church. Well, I see Buzzard's going home tonight. He's got his car packed and it's pointed toward the road. You ain't driving all night, are you? Yes, I am. I'm headed home. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if God just couldn't wait to come by and dwell in our house this morning, that it'd be such a place of holiness and righteousness and separation from the world that he'd feel at home there as he does it. I believe we can do it. I believe we can present ourselves to God in such a way, in a manner, that he'll want his spirit to abide there. I believe we can. The Bible said, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord your God. Oh Lord. Get late, Buzzard. I know it. Somewhere, someplace, we're going to have to realize that this is the temple that God wants to live in. Right? Oh God, help us this morning. Sometimes I get to wondering, amen, if he's close, he's anywhere. And then the scriptures come to me, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If you decide to build a place for God, it will not be from the ground up. As I said, it will be a remodel job. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not of your own, for you're bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now this morning, before you jump in with both feet like Peter and say, oh, let's go. There's a warning here. The Bible says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are? Do you want to go ahead this morning? Do you want me to go ahead and finish building this for you? See, tell you how it's going to be? Oh, Lord. I never have preached this before, Brother Ralph. Never. I ain't never preached this. Whew, it feels good. I think I'm going to have to wash an arnet and preach it again somewhere. Listen. They said our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness. And as he hath appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. Moses, I want you to build me a temple. Okay, Lord, I've got some great ideas for it. No, Moses, no. I'm going to tell you just how long to make every board in it. I'm going to tell you just where to put it, how far apart, sweet Lamb of God. And I want it just like I'm going to tell you how to fix it. And if you don't fix it right, don't look for me. Come on, church. We too must build
amen, that tabernacle or God's sanctuary according to God's blueprint.
I never will forget, I was lead man in a trailer house company, and they brought a show model through, and we were supposed to build it, you know, everything real careful. Amen. I looked at that blueprint, and I went to the architect, and I said, "This is wrong. This won't work." He said, "Build it like I got it drawn. It will work." And I've had some people in the house of God like to tell me how to run the church. If it was me, woo! I said, "All right, I'm going to build it, but it ain't going to work." Sister Elizabeth, I built the sidewalls. That's what I was over. Amen. They went in and put the walls in, went down, they was putting the skin on, putting the windows in. Amen. And the trim crew come in to put on the fancy doodads, you know. And they come up there and said, "Buzzard, you made it wrong." Said, "This wall here is too close to this window. We can't put this shadow box on it." I said, "I know that when I built it. But I built it like the man said to." Come on, church. Come on, church. Well, here they called me down there. There was a big boss. There was a man that owned the place that's all in there and is looking at it, measuring, carrying on. Brother Ralph, amen. And they said, "You're going to have to tear this whole side wall off. You're going to have to." And I said, "If y'all go back up to the office, I'll fix that. You'll never know it is ever was that way." Amen. They said, "You can't do it." I said, "Get out of here and I'll do it." Brother Charles, they left. I went in and, amen, it had 54-inch windows in it. I went in there and reduced them on one side, moved them over a little bit, tore the panel off, repaneled it, routed out the windows, put in some 46s. Amen, put them in there, hung the shadow box, and put the curtain up, called them up, and I said, "Your trailer's fixed." Here they come. They looked at it. They walked around it. The owner said, "How in the world did you do that, Buzzard?" I said, "A trick of the trade," and I went back to my job place. Amen. God knows what He's doing, though. There ain't no mistakes in this blueprint right here. I said, "There ain't no mistakes in this blueprint. You got to do it like the blueprint said, and if you do it like the blueprint said, everything will fit just like it is supposed to." You know why your salvation won't work? You ain't running according to blueprint. Shout, church, shout. "Unfortunately, I can't do to you what I've done to that trailer." Amen. The first thing is to select the place. The Bible said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, beat on that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock." You don't build in the right place, you're in trouble. Because it said the foolish man built his house on the sand. Come on, church, amen. He's one that didn't hear the sayings of the Lord and wouldn't do them if he did hear them. Amen. And he built his house on the sand, and here come the rains, and here come the flood, and here the wind blew and beat on it, and it fell, and great was the fall. There ain't no wonder so many people backslide, and they won't build their house where God told them to build a thing.
Yeah. Woo!
Come on, church, amen. Amen. The Bible said, amen. Amen. To build, amen, on the rock by doing what He said do. If He said separate yourself from the world, He didn't mean, amen, to just keep hanging on to it.
Oh, Lord. I knew we'd get to that legalistic stuff. I knew we'd get to that, Brother Larry. I knew, you know him. That's old Buzzard. He can't be happy unless he gets his scalping knife out and runs it over our head a time or two. He just can't help it. You're right, because I want to see your house pass inspection.
You're absolutely right. I mean, you are right. Amen. What do you think he called me to preach for? Amen. For the perfecting of the saints. Amen. Come on, church. That's what he put us up here for. Oh, Lord. Amen. Then, when you got the right place, well, then you got to put the right foundation in. And the Bible said they're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Oh, Lord. That's the New Testament and the Old Testament. Brother Ralph, what are we going to do? Yeah. Brother Art.
Yeah.
But I didn't think the Old Testament had anything to do with me. Yeah. No wonder your foundation's so shaky. Getting quiet, Buzzard. Yeah, I know. I'm almost done, though. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I told y'all he was an Indian. Chief cornerstone. Amen. In whom all the building, thickly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. God ain't going to live in it unless you're built on both the apostles and the prophets. Come on. And Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Now God has already chose a place, amen, where this house is to be built. I know it's on a rock. I know the foundations, what it's got to be. But Sister Elizabeth, he done picked out where it's going to be at, Brother Matt World. He done picked it out. Yeah, he did. He said, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountain. I want my house upon the mountain, son.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I want to build. Everybody said, I want you in church, friend.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Well, I do. Better get off that. That's another sermon. And I'm not Brother Lloyd. Brother Lloyd, I can't preach two in one setting. Although the wife tells me sometimes I preach more than two. Preached everything you know today, didn't you? I usually do, amen. Come on, church, amen. We're building a house for God.
to live in. All right. Then the Bible says, thou son of man, show the house to the house of Israel. What for, Lord? That they may be ashamed of their iniquities. Same how they built. Same way. You know something, church? They tell, and it's supposed to be true, about a contractor. A man who worked for a certain company in California until it was time for him to retire. And they said to him, you've been such a faithful man. He was real meticulous in all, everything he'd done, every house that he built. Nobody could find a thing wrong. They said, we want you to build one more house. Just one. Said, just one? Just one. Take as long as you want. He said, well, what plans? He said, just build it like you want to build it. This one, just go ahead and build it. You built so many, build it like you want. And Brother Ralph, he got in that thing and he got to thinking, now all these years I've worked for these people, and you know, said, this is the last house I want to get done. I believe I'll take some shortcuts. He did. He knew how to do it, and he knew how to cover it up. Couldn't nobody see a thing wrong with it, Brother Parrott. When he got it done, then he came in and said, I'm through. They said, here's the deed and here's the key to the front door. We're giving it to you. And all he could see was all the little things that he covered up.
Yeah.
One of these days, my friend, you'll look at your house while you're standing in line waiting to face the judgment.
Yeah.
And you're going to think about all them little shortcuts that you took.
Yeah.
All them little things that you held on to. And you're going to wish that you tore it down to the ground and started all over again. Built it on top of the mountain. Built it on the foundation of obeying the Word of God instead of taking all those shortcuts. And then the Lord said to Ezekiel, let them measure the pattern. Show it to them. Here's the pattern right here. Here's the blueprint right here. Anything I preach to you, you don't believe me, come see me. I'll read it to you out of the Bible. Come on, church. I don't believe in preaching what I think unless I tell you this is what I think. Paul done it. He said, now, I'm not speaking by commandment here, but he said, I think I have the Spirit. So here's how it is. And now he'd tell them what he thought. But you know how we are today. We don't believe in that. I was in the cow barn and praying, and God told me it was wrong to drink Coca-Cola. You're lying through your teeth. The Lord didn't tell you that. You're saying that because you don't like it. I come from one camp meeting and they told me, said, oh, we had, oh, what a wonderful man. And I said, the best message we had there, a brother got up and he preached on something we never had heard before. No, it's so glorious. I said, what was it? What was it? He said, he told us that the Lord showed he was wrong for us to wear shiny belt buckles. So everybody went downtown, bought us some flat black paint, and painted them. I looked at him and I said, look like to me you're backsliding. He said, what? I said, it's coming off. Y'all here, I'm building a house for God to live in. I said, I'm building a house for God to live in. I ain't got time for that kind of junk. Woo! That's your conviction? Leave them alone. Had one young preacher come to me and said, Brother Leon, I'm going with this bunch that preaches against soda pop and all this coffee, tea, and all that. Brother Charles, and I said, be sure you know what you're doing. Huh? He said, oh, I know it's God. I know it's God. I said, do you? Yes. Oh, yes. I said, that's funny. The Bible says it's not meat and drink. That's what it said.
And he said, if you pray over it, it'll be sanctified even if it is hog or catfish. Come on, church. He went with them for a little while, Sister Elizabeth. Then he came back by. He said, Brother Buzzard, what do you think if I told you? I think I made a mistake. I just don't tell you. I said, friend, you made a vow to God. The Bible said if you make a vow, pay it. And he said, don't say it was a mistake. Huh? You don't believe me? Read the 5th chapter of Ecclesiastes. Don't say it's a mistake, lest he be angry at the sound of thy voice and destroy thee. I said, I can't make you leave it alone. But I said, I don't believe you're going to do any good if you go back to it. He did go back to it. He did. What you doing now? Working on a job. Reckon you'll ever get out and do anything? No, I really don't. I really don't. He's close to my heart. You're looking at me funny. No, I'm talking about building a house for God to live in. I said I'm talking about building a house that I want God to live in. I won't tell you something. He ain't going to live in no house where the vows have been broken. You said you ain't going to do it. You better leave it alone. It's as bad as drinking whiskey. Shout, church, shout. We're gaining ground. Amen. Let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done. And I don't know how in the world we couldn't be ashamed of all we have done. Amen. If they will repent, is what I think he was saying. They'll repent. He said, then show them the form of the house and the fashions thereof. What? Well, the art's getting late. I can't preach all this. I can't. Come on, church. He said, Ezekiel, I want you to show them the form of the house, and I want you to show them the fashions of the house. I had one lady in the church that I was pastoring, amen, get up Sunday school while I was teaching, said, I'm sick and tired of you preachers telling us women how to dress. I said, I'm sick and tired of doing it too.
Yeah.
I said, if you'd obey what the Bible said to do, I'd quit. I'd never preach on long, short dresses, split tails, or anything else. I'd quit. She said, well, I'd like to know how that'd be. I said, the Bible said for the older women to teach the younger women. You do it and I'll leave them alone. Woo! Shout, church, we're building a church. We're building a place for God to live in. Do you still want to build? And the going out thereof and the coming in thereof. Told you he don't leave no stone unturned. You want to build a house for God? He's going to tell you how to dress. He's going to show you the forms of the house. He's going to have to tell you how to go in and how to go out. And going in and out ain't stomping out with your lip hanging out. Coming back in with a cloud hanging over your head ready to blow up just at any second, amen. Nobody dares say a word to you. God ain't going to live in that house. I don't blame him. I don't even want to live next door to him. And all the ordinances thereof. All the do's and don'ts. All the do's and don'ts. Everyone, all the ordinances. You know, if you live in town, you build a house. You go down there and you cater to this inspector and that inspector, and they bring you this ordinance and that, and it makes you so mad you can't hardly stand it, but you want to build a house, so you go ahead and do it. Right. Brother Ralphie come down and said, I don't like the way you got this electricity in. Tear it out. Do it again. You'll do it. You may not like it, but you will go in there and tear it out and do it all over again. Some of us, if we get God to move in, going to have to come back and do our first works again. Preach, Brother Buzzard. Preach. Come on, church, amen. We're building a house for God. Oh, Lord. All the ordinances thereof, all the forms thereof, all the laws thereof. Amen. Write it in their sight that they may keep the whole form thereof and all the ordinances thereof and D.O. them. In case you white people don't know what D.O. spells, it means do it. Do it. Do it. We're building a house. Do it. We moved into Parsonage at Mount Tabor. And we had some of the outlets that shock you when you touch the little screws, you know. So I'd done some electrician work when I was in the service. My brother come up. He's better at it than I am. I said, damn, I wish we could find out. I mean, you know, wife goes in, turn the light on in the utility room, and when are you gonna fix this? So Daniel was down, and I said, we went up in the attic. Oh God, help us, Brother Charles. Hey man, they had put that thing together with wire. Hey man, pieces 10, 12 feet long. When they got to where they had run out of wire, they just twisted together, wrap it with that old friction tape. Not electric tape. I mean that old... Went outside, the ground wasn't even plugged in. I said, it's a wonder this house ain't burned down. I look at the way some people have put theirs in, and I wonder how in the world they ain't burned down yet. He sure ain't going to pass inspection. If inspector had ever come out there and crawled up there, he'd have said, Mr. Buzzard, you have got, hey man, to tear this out. Well, me and Daniel went through and we tried. We put some electric boxes in, some junction boxes in. Huh? Come here, church. Hey man, God has got a way for us to do this, and if we'll do it like He said do it, He'll live there. Do it. Do it, do it, do it. Hey man. Amen. And I'm looking at folks who have heard all these things, all these ordinances. I can't preach to you nothing that you ain't heard about holiness living. Yeah. Unless I come off the wall with some junk. It don't amount to anything anyway. You've heard it. All you lack is just implementing it. There's a white word for you. Amen. Mostly we are. I mean, I hope you don't think that I'm really on you this morning. I'm trying not to be. And usually we're ready to comply with these things, but I'm still getting a lot of flack on some of the outward looks of holiness. Now, God knew that the flesh, amen, would give us the most trouble. He knew that. I mean, you know, I can tell you how you're supposed to feel in here and what you're supposed to do in here. And you can say, I'm doing that. I can't tell where you are or not. But God does, so He's the one that's going to live in there. I ain't. So God had him write one more thing. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me, God. This is the law of the house upon the top of the mountain. The whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. Woo. Now he's talking about the city limits.
the outside, the limit roundabout. Most holy. He wants the inside to be clean, but now he's telling us the outside's going to have to come up to par too. You know, Brother Matt, I'm not going into everything, but the thing that I'm really getting flack over is this trend for the church going back to them split-tail skirts. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to get into everything, but this is what the Lord spoke to me about. I walked upon the grounds of a camp meeting, holiness camp meeting, that for years, amen, preached against that. It was the ordinance of the board that no woman be allowed on the platform with one on. I'm just telling you how it was. I was there when they said this is what we're going to do. And they told the preachers, if your wife comes dressed that way, you will not be preaching in our meeting, so don't expect to do it. I was there when they voted that in. I was there. In fact, I held my hand up for it, Brother Wayne Armbrister. I said, yeah, I'm for that. Well, when I walked on, I seen one of the director's wife walking across there with her walking skirt on. It's not a split skirt anymore, Brother Ralph. It's a walking skirt. That's right. One of the speakers, Brother Charles, his wife walked across. Hers was split too. And she had that grunge look on. You know, them crazy colors. Purple arm and a green arm. I hope you ain't out there. If you are, go home and change the curtain. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. And I've been told that I have no Bible to base that on or to prove that they are wrong. Is that so? Do you really want to hear it? I read to you that God told Moses how he wanted everything fixed. One of the things that he spent nearly a chapter on was the curtains of it. You know what the curtains is, don't you? That's the part that everybody's seen when they walk by. They couldn't see the inside, they seen the curtains. And he told them, I want every curtain to be so wide and so tall. And he said, join them together that they be one. Now you are quiet. Could tell you something else? Well, you're not. Well, I can't see you now anyway. I got my glasses off. They're blurry now. If it's wrong to shorten the curtain here, it is wrong to shorten it here. You going to build a house for the Lord? Are you going to build a house for the Lord? Are you really going to build a house for the Lord? Brother Buzzard, that's too straight. That's too hard. I ain't near as hard as the judgment's going to be. Well, is this the calm before the storm? Wife, run, start the car. Peter said to Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. The Bible said, not knowing what he said. But we do know, don't we? You don't know, you do know now. Build it like Moses, or God told Moses, build it like I showed it. Everything. Exactly like I said. I want the curtains to be so many cubits. Brother Ralph, they were long curtains. And they weren't see-through curtains either. And I want them so wide. And I want them joined together that they be one. Jesus said, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake?" Will we? Will we build a house for God to dwell in? That's the cost. To lay down your life for Him. Brother Wayne, you don't want me to quit? I had to lay down my thoughts and my ideas on how it ought to be done. And then I found out that if I didn't fall in love with the Word of God and love with holding His standards, that He'd send me a lie and I'd believe a lie and be damned. Lord! Do you love me, son? Will you lay your life down for me? Will you? Will you do it? To build a house for God? Amen? Listen. The Bible said, Luke, "And there went a great multitude, there went out a great multitude with Him. And He turned and said to them, If any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, wife, and children, and brethren and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my house." He said, "Disciple, I'm saying house, because I'm building a house for God. Devil wrestled me last night. Said, "You don't dare." I said, "You hide and watch, devil. You hide and watch. I'm building a house for God. You may never want to move into it. That's all right. I'd rather have God than anybody else anyway." And I probably said more than I should, and maybe not enough either. Amen. I'm just telling you, church. Quit playing games. Quit fooling yourself. Don't let the devil have that power of influence in your life. Don't let him influence your thinking tonight or this morning that you're going to get by with less than what God demands. It won't work. And it don't matter. I seen something that really shook me up, Brother Charles. When our children got up so old, we decided we'd go to the Selagee office of the Cherokee tribe. And we would get their certificate of Indian degree and their membership to the tribe. Get that all took care of. We went down and I went in and I had to show them my lineage. Huh? My grandfather, who he was, my dad, all that. I had to prove all that. I could do that. I'm glad I can prove. I'm wanting to preach another message, Brother Cheek. You ready to be? I said, "All right." Filled out all the papers. I said, "It'll be just a little while." We waited there and we sat there. And Brother Ralph, there's some Indian folk come in that was full blood, Cherokee. Some of them couldn't hardly speak English at all. Huh? Brother Barnett, they come in to get their cards. And they said, can you prove you're an Indian? Have you got any papers?
Look at me! You can say I'm an Indian!
I'm sorry, sir.
You got to prove.
You see, when they made Oklahoma state, they made all the Indians go in and register. Put their name down on the book. Gave my grandfather a number, a roll number. One day at Calvary I came, December 22nd, 1950. And I enlisted. He put my name on the roll and he gave me a number. Amen. That's right. They only had 7 years. You know something, church? We ain't got all that much time left to get this house built. I feel what I felt here yesterday morning again. I feel what we felt here last night. I feel like God is looking down on us, riding across the clouds on His chariot, amen. Sweet Lamb of God, Brother Carpenter, amen. And He's looking our way this morning, and He's saying, will you build me a house? I watched as those Indians, amen, walked out the door, shaking their head. I'm an Indian. I know I'm an Indian. Look at me. But they couldn't prove it. My sons went to the main place, Sister Elizabeth, in North Carolina, Cherokee City. They went in and they looked at the books of the tribe of the Cherokee. And they went down through the roll and they found Buzzard Henry Daniel, my grandfather. There we was on the main book, Brother Larry. I feel assured this morning, amen, that there's a book in heaven where Franklin L. Buzzard's name is written down. Are you hearing me this morning? Amen. Your name can't be there unless your house is in order. Your name can't be there unless you're building like God said build. Amen. You're wasting your time unless you build like God said to build. Brother Hall.
Blessing.
Praise the Lord. I want to tell you something. I was thinking about this morning. There's some things that I feel close to because of my blood. Huh? When he preaches, I don't look like him, but I know my blood has got what he's got in his blood. See what I mean? I was thinking that this morning. Amen. I know I can't prove that. I was at Tahlequah. My granny's name was Nancy Johnson. Her daddy's name was Willie Johnson. He was 3/4 Red Hawk. Amen. And my great-grandma's name was a woman out, I can't think of her now, but she came out of Tennessee. She was a full-blood Cherokee. But I couldn't prove that. Amen. I found all kinds of Nancy Johnsons there. They love, that woman there was nice. She said, sir, she said, the Indians love the name Nancy. And they love the name Willie. And I found Willie Johnson. I found Nancy Johnson. But because some of them had no faith in that, they didn't put their name on the Dawes record. They drifted back into the hills of Missouri and settled down on the Big Piney there where my folks settled. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I know the feeling of association because of blood. Amen. Praise God. And I thought about how that I have a feeling of association. I don't mean hurt nobody's feeling, but I have a feeling of association when people talk about being Irish. Amen. Because that's where I got my features from. Amen. And my mother was part Dutch. Amen. And I know the feeling she liked cleanliness and the frugality of the Dutch. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know that. Amen. The blood's there. And I know something else. I have a feeling of association with the black race because my daddy and his daddy and all of his brothers and sisters had to eat with the blacks out there in Oklahoma. Amen. The white folks wouldn't let them eat with them. Amen. Amen. So we had to eat. So I have a feeling. But I don't have any feeling in connection with the Hispanic at all. Not at all. Amen. My people came from this land. Amen. I have a feeling here for this land. But there's something that does give me a feeling for the Hispanic. It's the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the connecting line. And that's the most important thing of all. Is to be part of that blood wash band. Having His blood crouching through our veins. Coursing through our veins. I think we owe God a great praise. Hallelujah.
Let's worship Him. Let's worship Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to the Lamb of God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank God for that blood that puts us in fellowship with the Son of God this morning. Thank God for that blood that makes us one of His, that brings us into that family of God. Oh, I praise Him. Praise God. Praise God.
Can I get in because the chief of Southwest Virginia is my second cousin?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Brother Buzzards preach good, haven't you? Praise God. Hallelujah. That's right, isn't it? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to the Lamb of God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, sweet Jesus. Praise God. Aren't you glad He's given us that opportunity to build that house for Him to dwell in? Aren't you glad this morning that the Lord has given us that privilege that we can build this building, that He'll come down and dwell with us and in us? We can feel that Spirit of the Lord. I worked for a contractor and he built some spec homes, and you know what a spec home is. They build it, and they build it not for a certain individual, but they build it to sell. And I thought, you know, when we finish up those homes, we make sure the carpet's clean, the windows is clean, the outside's clean, the yard looks nice, and you know what he's wanting to do? He's wanting somebody to come by and see that and say, that's where I want to live. Yeah. And I thought, as Brother Buzzard was preaching to us this morning, you know what? I'd like to have my house where that the Lord wants to dwell there. I want that house to be in such a shape that when the Spirit of the Lord comes by, I want Him to dwell there and to be there and live within us. And I thought this morning that He's told us right, hadn't He? You know, we're going to be inspected. I thought I'd done some work in Monroe County, and down here we're not inspected. I do electrical work, but up there we had an inspector, and he inspected everything that I did. And there's some things he said, I'd like to see you do a little different. So, well, I tried to tell him, well, this is the way I always do it. He said, well, if you want to get power to this house, you're going to get the electricity turned up here, this is how you're going to have to do it. I like the power, don't you? I like to feel the Holy Ghost. I like to feel that move of God. But you know what the Bible says? If you're going to have that move of God, this is the way it has to be. And you know, I found when I meet up with the code that God set, that the Holy Ghost will come by and touch us and bless us and move on us.
And I believe this morning the preaching we've heard, I believe we need to come around these altars and pray, Lord, turn that searchlight of heaven on me. Check out my heart and my life, because I don't want there to be anything there, Lord, that you wouldn't be pleased with. I don't want there to be anything there that would keep your spirit from touching me. So let's pray over this message this morning.